This morning, my attention is turned to the Epistle to Galatians, the fifth chapter, scriptures that we are familiar with, but I feel impressed by the Holy Spirit to go there to the fifth chapter, verses 16 and 17. If you'll turn with me as we read together. The theme of this message is walk in the Spirit. In the 15th verse of the 5th chapter, we find the 16th verse. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would. Spiritual battle, it goes on. If I could take a moment, I want to read this same verses and a few more in a different version. It's called the Passion Translation. I'm not advocating for the translation, but it adds some context to our message this morning. In this other translation, it says, as you yield, and you can follow with me in the King James, as you yield freely and fully to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life, the flesh. For your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit and hinder him from living free within you. And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your old self-life from dominating you. So then the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are the self-life of the flesh and the new creation life of the Spirit. But when you are brought into the full freedom of the Spirit of grace, you will no longer be living under the domination of the law, but soaring above it. The cravings of the self-life are obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored, temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions, being envious of the blessings of others, murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all other similar behavior. Haven't I already warned you that those who use their freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom realm of God? But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions, joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. Keep in mind that we who belong to Jesus, the Anointed One, have already experienced crucifixion, for everything connected with our self-life was put to death on the cross and crucified with the Messiah. We must live in the Holy Spirit and follow after him. So may we never be arrogant or look down on another. For each of us is an original. We must forsake all jealousy that diminishes the value of others. And I want to stop the reading right there. I read to the end of the scripture. The Holy Spirit gives us that divine nature within us. We put a lot of emphasis on receiving the Holy Spirit, on the baptism, and rightfully so. But the real payoff is what we just read, is to walk in the Spirit. That's the whole purpose. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, was not just an emblem or something we wear on a button that we wear or an identification, but it is something that prepares us that the Spirit, the power of the Spirit living in us, can mediate the life of Jesus Christ in its fullness to us. Praise God. You see, God didn't try and fix our old nature. Our old nature was flawed. Sin came in with the first parents, and the rest of us, everyone from the first parents on, were born with a sin nature. And God doesn't say, well, I'll patch you up. I'll make a few repairs and let you go on your way. No, it's too flawed. It can't be done. He wants to give us a new nature, which he does when the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our hearts and he begins to move in us, praise God. And now we have the ability to choose. Before, we were just living in the carnal, in the flesh, in the old nature, trying to do the best we could, obeying the laws of the land and whatever we thought was reasonable. But now, praise God, new creatures in Christ Jesus, a new nature he gave us. And that Holy Spirit mediates the life, the presence of Christ, to make us aware of all he is and to enable us to experience Christ's life in ours. To mediate means to intervene or to resolve conflict, to oversee agreement, to achieve agreement, to transfer something. What does he transfer to us? He transferred the divine nature to us. Peter writes in his epistle, he says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Those two verses right there in the second epistle of Peter are so powerful. What a revelation that God gave Peter to pen those words, praise God. We've been given a divine nature. Now we can escape. We don't have to be subject to the old man, the carnal flesh, the desires of our humanity. You know, we can name a lot of quote good people in this world. Maybe not a lot, but certainly some. They're good humanitarians. They give to the poor. They build hospitals or whatever they do. And those are all good things. But Paul writes to Corinthians, if we have hope in this life only, we are of all men most miserable. Because the things that happen here are not eternal. The things don't last. Praise God. It's not what we do in a humanitarian way. And that's fine to do those things. I'm not being critical of that. But it's what we do for Christ. It's walking in the Spirit and being a testimony, a living testimony. Praise God. I'd rather turn one person to Jesus Christ than build something that would save 1,000 people their lives. Because this life someday will end. This humanity is finite. But we have a soul that is eternal. And that soul is going to go to one or two places. And our hope and our desire is to point everybody to Jesus and say, oh, follow him, praise God. What does the Holy Spirit do for us? If I could just take a moment. He convicts and reveals Jesus Christ. I'm going to try and go briefly through this. He restrains sin in the world. He regenerates to new life. Titus writes, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise God. It's not quitting a few habits. It's a life change. It's a heart change, praise God, that he does. He baptizes into the body of Christ. The word says by one Spirit in Corinthians, we are baptized into the body. He empowers and reproduces the character of Jesus Christ in those who submit unto him by faith. Paul wrote to Galatians in the 4th chapter, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. He promotes spiritual maturity. In the early part of this 5th chapter, he tells the Galatians, he says, Galatians, stand fast in liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not again entangled with the yoke of bondage. They were trying to go back to the Mosaic law. They stand free, praise God. He teaches and gives understanding of the word. In Corinthians, he writes, "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God." The spiritual things are foolishness to the carnal man. Don't get it. Don't understand. It's revelation. You can't learn about this. You can study it. You can memorize text or whatever. But it's revelation that comes to the heart, praise God. Who told you were a sinner? When did that come? Because the pastor said we're sinners? No. The revelation came from Christ. The revelation came when, in a moment of sincerity, in a moment of prayer, that all of a sudden we saw ourselves as we really are. We were sinners, lost and undone. I love the vision in Isaiah where it speaks, I believe it's in the 6th chapter, I'm not sure exactly, but he said, "I saw him on the throne, and the cherubims and the seraphims were there, and I said, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips." A revelation came of just who we are in Christ or without Christ. He applies truth to our experience. In Romans, Paul writes, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Praise the Lord. You know, the Spirit witnesses within that we are His children. Well, I go to that church. Church isn't going to save you. You should go to church, but the church isn't going to save you. It's the saving power of God, the Holy Spirit that works within us, that witnesses with our spirit that we belong to Him. He gives power to our prayer life. Jude writes, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Oh, praise God. He promotes meaningful worship. Jesus told us in the Gospel of John, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him." God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. He gives capacity for and burden for the direction and witnessing. In the book of Acts, you remember where Paul and Silas, I believe, were asking the Lord what direction to go, and they were forbidden to go here, and they were hindered to go there, and finally he heard a voice in his dream, "Come over and help us in Macedonia." The Spirit puts on the heart to witness your neighbors, friends at school, family members. The Holy Spirit gives us the direction, the leading. When we walk in the Spirit, praise God, He gives us that direction. It's a conscious determination or trust to rely on the resources of the indwelling Spirit for strength. Praise God, walking in the Spirit. You want to be successful in this life. And I don't mean financially, materially, that God will take care of those things too. But to be successful in this life is walk in the Spirit. You'll be a better husband, a better wife, a better father, a better mother, a better son, a better daughter, a better brother, a better sister. Walk in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will minister. The Holy Spirit will guide and lead, praise God, and direct your path. It's an imperative in our daily life. You see, the tendencies in this old nature, which will never die until we leave this earth, until we cross over to the other side, that old nature is going to be with us. And that old nature will never die, but it has to be crucified. It has to be crushed under the control and power of the Holy Spirit. And who can do it? Resolutions, thinking positive thoughts, that isn't going to do it. Well, I can navigate on my own. No, you can't. Well, I've got a pretty strong will, Brother Ron. When I put my mind to something, I stopped smoking at the drop of a hat. And no one helped me. I didn't go to the 10 steps or whatever. You may have done that, but overcoming sin, you need power and you need strength and you need the Spirit of God, praise God. And we need to walk in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. It's not an option. It's a command. You see, the plan of salvation is so beautiful that Christ knew, that God knew. He sent his Son to die, to cover, to cleanse our sins, to pay the price for your sin and my sin. To take away the great penalty that no way we could have paid. No way we could have done enough good works. You know, a lot of folks today are kidding themselves. They're being deceived. Well, if I'm a good person and I do good works and I try to live, to help my fellow man and obey the laws, that God's going to take care of me. That's a lie. Not that we shouldn't do those things, but that's not what God's looking for. It's a heart-changing, life-changing experience that we need to come in contact, to know, praise God, that He is the source of our strength. And that the Holy Creator, God in heaven, loves us so very much, He sent His Son. And then to complete it, Jesus came and paid the price of our sin. But He said, I'll send you another. One just like me who will abide with you forever. I'll send you the Holy Spirit. Why do I need the Holy Spirit? Why do I need the third person of the Trinity? Why do I need the Holy Spirit? Because in order to live the life, in order to overcome, you need power and strength and you need divine wisdom and you need discernment and you need guidance. And you need the presence of the Holy Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. How beautiful that is. Jesus gave the great commission. Go out into all the world and preaching and baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And teaching them all things soever I have commanded. He gave them that charge before he left this earth. But he didn't say, okay, get started. What did he say? He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Wait till you're ready. Wait till you're prepared. There's a lot of folks in different religions doing humanitarian things and helping the poor, and that's all good. But you need the empowerment, you need the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit in your life. You need His presence, the divine nature within you to give you that understanding and discernment and ability, praise God, that God can use you for the kingdom to produce those fruits in your life that will be a witness and a testimony to others. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful thing. You see, this walk in the Spirit, it's a continuous moment-by-moment responsibility. And I'm not going to hear and tell you I always walk in the Spirit. I wish I could say that, but that's not true. Because I have my frustrations, I have my humanity. I struggle with the same thing. I like what Paul says in the 7th chapter of Romans. He said, you know, I struggle with this humanity. He says, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. I'll be blessed. I'll leave the church and be blessed. And I'll go down the road and somebody will cut me off. And I'm talking to myself in the car. You know, those kind of things. Our humanity is with us constantly. But it's a striving. Walk in the Spirit. It's a continual. The Holy Spirit is encouraging us to keep doing it. Praise God, to walk in that fashion. And you see, the Spirit does not operate automatically. He waits to be depended on. He waits. He waits. He waits to be depended on. He was there waiting for us to yield. And how many times, I'll speak for myself, the Holy Spirit was waiting and I wasn't responding. But oh, God is so faithful and so merciful this morning. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, help us. We need His presence. In Romans, that beautiful 8th chapter, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." I want us to pause there a moment. Condemnation is not the same as conviction. Condemnation is a judgment that you're sinful, you're lost. Conviction corrects us. Conviction is you need to change. No condemnation. No, we're not perfect. We still have our faults and frailties, but the Holy Spirit ministers to us. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, thus that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." You see what the Word is saying? If we walk in our humanity, we can't please God. "But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Well, Brother Ron, I've seen people baptized with the Holy Ghost that are living sinful lives. How do you explain the scripture that just said if the Spirit of God is in you? Praise God. What is he talking about here? If the Spirit of God is in you and you are yielding to the Spirit, being baptized with the Holy Ghost doesn't guarantee you're going to be in heaven. "He that persevereth to the end," the Bible says, "the same shall be saved." We got to walk in the Spirit. We have to walk in that Spirit. We have to allow the Spirit of God to have His way in us. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. Praise God. There are negative aspects to His control in ministry, and it's sin. Sin grieves the person of the Holy Spirit, and sin quenches the power of the Holy Spirit. There's two pulls, legalism and license against the Spirit-controlled walk. Legalism is a man in the power of his own resource seeking to do good deeds or religious works, and thinking that somehow that merits standing with God. Well, if I do enough good works, I'm okay. No, you're not okay. We're not saved by works. In Zechariah, we're not going to take time to read this, but in the 7th chapter, he reproves them for their hypocritical fasts. Outward religion without an inward reality is a real danger. It's a man-made focus on rules and rituals, motions we go through, meaningless activity in the name of spirituality. We have to examine our motives. Why are you here this morning? Because this is what we do at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning? Because my parents went to this church forever? Because it checks a box in my life. Why are we here? What's the purpose? Why do we gather together 3 times a week? Why did God ordain that? Why did God call us to do that? And some would argue, well, that's man-made, you know, 3 times, 2 times, 1 time. That's man's. No, it's not. It's man directed by God. But why do we do this? There is a deeper purpose that God calls us together, not forsaking the assemblings of ourselves together. Why is that so important to God? Because the body of Christ edifies itself in love. A testimony here, a song inspired by the Holy Spirit, a word of God inspired, a prayer that's lifted up. Something takes place and reaches the heart. And God moves in that opportunity, praise God. And someone is encouraged. I came with a burden and the brother lifted up a prayer and it just set me free. I came sick and I went to the altar to get prayed for and the Holy Spirit healed me, praise God. God placed his hand on me. Oh, praise the Lord. You see, outward religion leads to spiritual sclerosis. I heard this terminology. It's a metaphor describing the hardening of the heart, our spiritual stagnation that takes place. I'm okay. I'm going to church. I'm giving money to the church. I'm on the cleanup team. I do this or I do that. I'm okay. The ritual. I'm not against tradition. That's not the issue. But what's the basis? What's the basis? Walk in the Spirit. You see, sin grieves the person of the Spirit. It grieves to make sorrowful, to cause pain. O Lord, and sin quenches the power of the Spirit. In Thessalonians, we read, quench not the Spirit. To quench the Spirit, to act consciously and willfully against God's written word. To deliberately disobey a known command of Scripture. And to do so in such a way that it silences the voice of the Holy Spirit within you. We quench him. We grieve him by allowing sin to remain in our lives. We're not living right. We're not serving God like we should if we're partaking of the worldly situation. And God has called us out of that. And that sin allowing to remain in our lives quenches, grieves, quenches the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us. You see, the grieving focuses on the relationship. The Holy Spirit is grieved and he begins to withdraw. Oh, Lord. And the quenching has to do with obedience to God's will. You know, the word says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. Pretty strong words. It's a yieldedness that God wants in our lives. And when he says, walk in the Spirit, it's talking about being yielded to the Holy Spirit. God wants us to be successful. God wants us to be blessed. And the whole encouragement here, because he knows the ugly list of sins of works of the flesh are there with all of us. Oh no, I don't have those. Yeah, that it's in your heart too. We're all the same before then. We were lost and undone. But that humanity is right there, ready to rise its ugly head. And the encouragement of the Spirit this morning is to walk under the control, yielded to the Holy Spirit. Lord, is this what you want for my life? When we choose a career path, Lord, lead me and guide me in the right direction. When we choose a partner for life, a mate, Lord, provide someone who will agree with me and will go to church together and will love you the same way. When we make decisions in our life with our families, in our house, in our car, whatever the case may be, Lord, help me, lead me, guide me to walk in the Spirit. That's the key. That's why the necessity of the baptism. So we can walk in the Spirit. So we can avoid all these things, ugly things in the flesh. And we can overcome them. He told his disciples, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Don't go and running around. Don't go organizing. Don't go witnessing. Go to Jerusalem and pray and wait. And get filled with the Holy Ghost. And allow the Spirit of God to guide you and lead you. Praise God. Because the Lord knows the strength of this humanity. And we not only fight our humanity, we fight the enemy of our soul, Satan. Who you think he's on your side, you know he's not. If any way he can trip you up, if any way he can help you into hell, he's going to do it. If any way he can destroy you or your family, he's right there. Oh, I'm for that. And we have this world system. This world system is contrary to God. So we face a battle. And I don't want to minimize it. I'm not trying to be dramatic. We're at war. And the Word of God tells us, walk in the Spirit. And you'll overcome. You'll be free from the lusts of this flesh. Be free from those things as we continue to walk in the Spirit. I pray the Holy Spirit helps us. God desires you be blessed and your family. And sometimes you have to walk alone. Sometimes you may not have, your family may not be in concert with you and your thoughts and ideas. Walk by faith. Walk in the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit use you. Brother Ryan, I don't think it's working. Don't minimize what God can do. Well, it looks so impossible. The situation seems so out of reach. You ever said that? You ever thought those thoughts? I don't know how God is. I can't see it. That's the humanity speaking. Oh, praise God. Is anything too hard for the Lord? He says those words, and sometimes that sounds so just out there. Oh, but God, you're on the throne. We're going to continue to walk by faith. Continue to allow the Spirit of God to direct our path. Somehow, a word, a touch, someone in the path of a loved one, God will use. Sometimes He'll wake them up in the midnight hour. But we got to keep going. I want to close right here. Musicians, would you come forward? When He says, you cannot do the things you would, that's true. Because the flesh wants to do other things. Humanity wants to do other things. But the Holy Spirit directs us. Oh, Father, we thank You. We can have that peace, that joy, by walking in the Spirit. Lord, we thank You for the beautiful plan of salvation this morning. We pray that You speak to our hearts and that we take these words deep into our soul and meditate on them and follow Your direction. Oh, praise God. God loves you this morning. He loves you. He wants to see your best. May the Lord be praised. May His name be glorified forever. Do we have a song?